Jesus the good teacher, Jesus the therapist, Jesus the giver of bling. The Issues Etc. book of the month for June is Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? 12 False Christs. It's written by regular guest Dr. Matt Richard. Read an excerpt at issuesetc.org or purchase Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? By calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. book of the month, Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. There are those who, sad to say, increasingly nowadays consider religion itself to be a form of mental illness, but there's no doubt about it that there is a complicated and complex relationship between mental illness of all sorts and religion. Sometimes it comes in the form of more serious mental illnesses that manifest themselves as religious ideas or delusions. And sometimes it's simply the angst, the pain, and the spiritual perplexity that comes with suffering from mental illness. And as a Christian suffers it, what difference does it make? And what are we struggling against, not only in terms of mental illness, but maybe even the church's misconceptions about mental illness? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Tuesday afternoon, Pastor Todd Peppercorn joins us to talk about a recent Wichita Eagles story about religion and mental illness. He's pastor of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California, and author of the booklet, I Trust When Dark My Road. Todd, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to be here. Thanks.
What do you think is the biggest misconception pastors often have about mental illness?
Well, in my experience, when pastors are faced with a person or with mental illness, they tend to go in one extreme or another. Either they tend to go to, well, this is probably simply a spiritual issue, and so I need to kind of dig in and find out what the underlying spiritual problem is, so kind of take it far that way, or go the other direction and say, that's not my job description, refer, and then I'm done with it. And both of them are problematic for very different reasons. They make it so that pastors treat mental illness simply as a spiritual problem or treat mental illness simply as a physiological problem, and that there's no interrelation between the two.
So what underlying misunderstanding is there in those two, as you say, kind of one extreme or the other reactions on the part of Christian pastors to mental illness?
I think what's going on, Todd, is that we kind of have come to look at human beings like Lego blocks, where we're made up of, okay, I've got a physical block, plunk, I've got a spiritual block, plunk, I've got a mental block. I like that, a mental block. I've got these different pieces, and then you sort of put me together, and then all of those go on, and that those areas never kind of touch each other. But what we know from the scriptures is that we are fearfully and wonderfully made by God, and that I'm not a collection of parts that you can pull out of a warehouse, but that I am one body and soul, and that I'm one person, that these things are always interconnected. All you have to do is ask someone with any kind of chronic illness whether there are spiritual or faith implications behind the illness. And the answer is always yes, because these are afflictions, and these afflictions test our faith. So obviously there's a relationship. The question is, what's the underlying problem, and what's the cure, and how do we as Christians care for one another while we are in this journey in life?
Maybe a more nuanced approach that recognizes the interplay between what may be genuine mental illness that a pastor's unqualified to diagnose, much less to treat, and the spiritual ramifications of that in the life of that individual and their family, their loved ones, their friends. Maybe a more nuanced approach is kind of a priority, Todd. What I'm wondering is, and I guess I'll just admit this has been my approach in the past in dealing with parishioners who've had, in some cases, bipolar conditions or depression, the first thing I say when I'm approached is, look, I can't diagnose your whatever underlying condition there might be here. So the first priority is to go see a doctor.
Sure.
I'm not dropping you like a hot potato. What I'm telling you is, let's figure out what's wrong that I'm not qualified to deal with, and then we can start to deal with those things for which I am qualified. What do you think?
I like that, because what it does is it sets up that there are some things that you can do as a pastor, there are some things that you can't do as a pastor. And this is, I don't know, I think that there's a tendency with pastors to either do these extremes, to either go all in and sort of assume it's my job to fix everybody's problems, or the other, and to just refer and let it go. But to somehow recognize for this parishioner that you are present for them, that you will bring Christ's healing word and ministry to him or her, and that this is a gift, and that there are other vocations, there are other people that God can use to bring about that healing as well. That's one of the things I actually kind of liked about this Wichita Eagle article, is that they keep using this language of saying that religion has a complex relationship with mental illness. You know, it's not a fixed model, this kind of thing. And really the medical community really struggles with what they're going to get when it comes to churches and faith communities and pastors, because you're going to get the whole gambit's going to be covered, and they never know, are they going to get someone that's actually going to be helpful, or are they going to get someone that's going to essentially demonize the medical community? And it's a challenge, so that every doctor, every nurse is going to be wanting you to be helpful to this person, but not sure if you actually are willing to be helpful, or if you're just going to kind of sit in judgment over them in some way or another.
Pastor Todd Peppercorn is our guest, pastor of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California, and author of the booklet, I Trust to Endark My Road. We're talking about the relationship between religion and mental illness. More on the other side of the break.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Daily worship, historical hymnody, and catechesis interwoven with direct instruction in phonics, traditional math, literature, grammar, history, Latin, and strings. It's part of our daily life at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois, the only classical Lutheran school in Greater St. Louis. We're located 1 mile off Interstate 55. For more information, visit school.stpaulhamel.org. We would love to share our joy in learning with your child. school.stpaulhamel.org.
People are talking about the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Lutheran FCU was created solely to serve LCMS workers, families, and entities, and proceeds benefit LCMS organizations. Lutheran FCU offers deposit accounts and loans and has service access at thousands of branches and ATMs nationwide. Lutheran FCU also offers members Christian-based lending advice for new loans and refinancing, minimal account fees, and superior personalized service. Check them out at LutheranFCU.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about a recent Wichita Eagle story about religion and mental illness. Pastor Todd Peppercorn, author of the booklet, I Trust When Dark My Road, is our guest. Before the break, you were talking about the wariness of some mental health professionals when it comes to the intervention or even the help of pastors and religious professionals, because there may be, as you called, demonizing of the situation of mental illness. Sounds like their wariness is born of some experience where that kind of attitude does more harm than good.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that as pastors, we have to go into situations when you're dealing with mental illness with a recognition that this person has great need. Chances are, whomever it is, they don't recognize the degree of of problem that they have, the degree of need that they have. And a part of what I can do as their pastor is that I can be someone that they trust, that someone that can kind of go to them and say, let's try going to your doctor. Let's try these things, and then be an advocate for them alongside, hoping and recognizing too that what I am ultimately going to give them is the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, and that that is going to be a benefit to them. It just may not be the kind of benefit that they thought they needed at that moment. And that's of course a whole other part of the problem, is that when people come in to see their pastor, they're not thinking about all of this stuff. What they're thinking is that I can't get up in the morning. I'm thinking I should kill myself. Whatever the ideation is, they have all of this stuff going on, and because they're one person, not those Lego blocks, they don't make all of these distinctions. And we can maybe give them some direction, some guidance toward where the kind of help that they need can be. Someone has a broken leg. You're not going to say, okay, well, let's sit down and just pray about this broken leg. I hope that as a pastor, I would actually get them to a doctor, someone that can help them along the way.
A couple of the things on this, Todd. The Wichita Eagles story also points out, and I think I've seen it several times in my almost 30 years as a pastor, and I'm sure you've probably seen it too, that there can be what the story calls religious delusions attached with some kinds of more serious mental illness. The kind of beliefs that someone may have that are of a distinctly religious nature, and the pastor looks at that and says, I know that this isn't coming from God. But is that right, the main issue right then?
Well, and that's the thing. I've had people speak to me having all kinds of delusions about seeing angels, about all kinds of things. And it could be at that given moment that I can't discern how much of what they're saying is true and untrue. But that doesn't make them any less real in the perception of the person. We as pastors are equipped with the Word of God. So when someone comes to me and says, you know, an angel told me to go kill this person, I can speak with great confidence and say that that wasn't an angel, because God's Word teaches us what is true and false. However, that may not actually be the underlying problem that they're facing right then. And that requires discernment on the part of the pastor to figure out how do I approach this in a way that's going to be compassionate, that's going to be truthful, that I can use the tools that God has given me to help this person toward healing. It's messy, but when you're dealing with people, people are kind of messy, and sin only makes it more messy, that's for sure.
In some of those cases, the more serious cases, the pastor may be asked by the family, if not to, you know, act as a mental health professional, but to help with things like convincing someone they need to take medication, or maybe even go in for a 30-day observation, something like that. And that's sure. That's pretty tough work there. Talk about that, if you would.
It is, and that's a case where, as a pastor, I want to be there for this family. I want them to recognize that Christ is present for them and with them in their suffering, and that to some degree, I represent Christ in that place for them. That may be that you have to go in and be a part of that process because you're someone that they trust. And it's most likely that there aren't that many people that they trust that have some level of objectivity in a situation that can kind of go in and look at it. Maybe that's not the preach the gospel and administer the sacraments in that particular point and place, but that is certainly a part of the healing of this person and kind of the help and care for this person. As a pastor, as long as I'm clear on what is my vocation in this place and what kind of judgments am I being asked to render, I think that that can be helpful, as long as it's also understood that this is not my primary vocation as a pastor, but that it is going to be there. I always think of the parable of the Good Samaritan, where the Samaritan picks up the man, pours on oil and wine, puts him on his own animal, brings him to the inn, and then says to the innkeeper, whatever the cost is, I will pay it. That there is a sense that God comes to heal and care for the whole person. And if we over-separate those things out and say, okay, well, I'm only going to deal with your soul, but your body is, that's kind of your own problem. I don't think it's quite that simple.
But one other aspect of this, and it has to do with those who are kind of the collateral damage of mental illness. It could be a husband or wife or children, extended family, things like that, depending on whatever that mental illness might be. But if you would discuss the need for that pastoral care, that application of God's word and sacraments, beyond just the person who suffers themselves from mental illness.
In some respects, that may be where the pastoral care finds its primary home, depending on the degree of illness of the person. Because when you're talking about mental illness in families, the immediate family, friends, the people that are kind of providing the day-to-day care for this person, they're the ones that are suffering truly alongside. And they're the ones that are maybe even more than the individual, it depends. They're the ones that are going to be asking the, why is this happening to me, God? What did I do to deserve this? Kind of all of these, I'll say, theodicy-type questions, all of these questions about suffering and affliction. And it's in that place that you can help them as a pastor to give them a lens for looking at these things and recognize where they fit in this person, that God is using them to love and care for this person. And that may not be easy at the time, but that's where God has put them, and that is actually a gift, even though it may stink when you're in the middle of it. The pastor can actually provide hope in a way that nobody else can in that situation, because when a family is in the middle of this, all they can see is themselves. All they can see is this problem. It becomes absolutely defining for them. And to recognize that God is present with them in their suffering, that our Lord's body and blood actually brings the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation to them and to their loved ones, boy, that is more precious than anything else in the world. And that's kind of what Lutherans have in this whole question about mental illness, is we can bring the gospel and we can bring this hope and a recognition that all of these mundane, earthly, physical things that people have to do day in, day out to care for their loved ones, that they do matter, because this is God fulfilling his promises for this person to care for them. That's a big deal.
Pastor Todd Peppercorn is pastor of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California, author of the booklet, I Trust When Dark My Road. You can meet and hear Pastor Peppercorn making the case for a Lutheran view of depression this weekend at the 5th Annual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Registration is $80, but that registration fee does not include the meal plan, since we're at a late date. Register online at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. Todd, we'll see you this weekend.
Thank you. I look forward to it.
We're going to be talking with Pastor Ted Giese, doing a movie review on this Tuesday afternoon, the movie Alien Covenant, right after the break.
If you're like me, you remember when education was about the basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and history that gave our kids models of what it is to be a good person. Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum is bringing this kind of education back. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
Theology for Blue Collar, White Collar, and Clerical Collar. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
At Hope Lutheran Church in Sunbury, Ohio, you will find rest for your soul, strength for the day, forgiveness of sins, and hope for the future through Jesus Christ. Because at Hope, you'll hear the Word of God faithfully taught and receive the sacraments faithfully delivered. This is Pastor Ben Meyer inviting you to join us at Hope for Bible class and Sunday school at 9 a.m. and the Divine Service at 10:30 a.m. Find us on the web at hopelutheransunbury.org.
When a Christian woman is critical of her own flesh, she holds her Creator in contempt.
Rose Adel from her new book, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Our Heavenly Father knit us together in the womb. He did not do a bad job. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14. That goes for everyone, including the one who thinks she's the ugliest of them all.
You can purchase and download Concordia Publishing House's new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically, at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes.